That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hey, Claude, HYD.
Hey, Jax. How you doing? I am good. Thank you for asking. Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone had a peaceful weekend. We are back on the air. We are excited to get back. It was a necessary few days to just kind of take a step back, and I'm glad that we did it. But I'm excited to be back.
I'm excited to be back too. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of things to recap, things that you and I both watched over the past week. I feel like the past week in this country has been extremely intense, but extremely necessary. And I now feel waking up today for the first time, I feel like I've been living sort of in a constant state of anxiety, much like a lot of people. I'm feeling optimistic. I'm excited to make the changes and do the things that we say that we're going to do. And I'm just excited for this next evolution for us and for the country.
Yeah. And you know what's not exciting, but a positive is that there's been so much going on in the last week, and it's not for nothing. Like, there have been so many updates in this case and other cases. Like, Derek Chauvin's charges were upped, and then the other three police officers were arrested and charged. They reopened Breonna Taylor's case. Like, there are things happening, which is good. Like, that is the point of all of this activism. So I think that that's a good thing.
Yeah, changes are being made. It really does feel like we are in the middle, we're witnessing history. Do you know what I mean? You know that saying, like, decades happen in, like, things don't happen for decades, and then decades happen in days. I obviously botched that saying, but that's the gist of it. That's how I feel about this week. Like, I feel as though we are a changing country over the course of this week, and this show's changing with it.
Yeah, and it's been cool to see influencers and celebrities who don't normally, you know, touch on these topics, just like diving headfirst into educating themselves and just becoming a part of the conversation, like ourselves included. And I feel like that's a really awesome thing to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like I've also seen a lot of people, you know, encouraging others to speak up because they recognize that people might be afraid of saying the wrong thing, which I very much understand. But we just all need a little grace and room to grow.
Yeah. And I agree. It's like, we can't really accomplish anything if we're so divided. And of course, this country feels so divided, but I've just seen a lot of unity, like, on social media and just in the world this past week. And that's been like a bright spot in this dark time.
Yes. And you know what another bright spot is? Because the coronavirus pandemic is still waging, but New York City is entering phase one today, which I thought was just construction, but then my newsletter told me that it was construction and a bit of retail. And I'm finding that so exciting. Like, I really feel like it's a brand new day today.
Yeah, that's exciting. I didn't know that phase one was anything other than like
construction and manufacturing.
Yeah, well, it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to the world reopening because it's been so long. Like, I feel like this week was really, really long, but then I forgot about the 3 months before that where we were all quarantining, you know? It's like my mind shifted so much from like worrying about a pandemic to worrying about systemic racism that I just forgot like about the things that happened before it, you know?
Yes, I completely agree. But now everything, it's all coming back together. But I'm just, I'm ready to do our job. You know, I feel like last week we didn't and we shouldn't have, and we just needed to sit back and listen and absorb everything that was happening and been and has been happening. But now we are here to talk about those things, the things that we learned, and also bring a little bit of levity into your lives, because everybody does still need to have a little bit of a laugh once a day.
Yeah, a belly laugh never hurt nobody.
No, she did not. Okay, well, I want to start to get into a little bit of the things that we were watching over the past week. We'll recap our Toast Movie of the Week at the end of the show. I'm so excited to recap The Hate U Give. I absolutely loved it.
And we'll also assign our movie for the end of this week, which Jackie chose, and I'm very excited about.
I'm very excited about as well. Okay, but first, so one of the podcasts that I listen to, because we, instead of doing our own podcast, we're going to be listening to other podcasts. And so I've been listening to 1619. And first of all, it's just so well done. Like, we obviously like use Zoom audio and, you know, kind of have to shuck and jive, but listening to a podcast with like crisp audio and music and all of these different elements and, you know, bringing in like historical recordings, it's just, it was a pleasure to listen to on an audio level. And just as like a podcast person, that is important.
So I was listening to Code Switch like a bunch of episodes this week, and I had this same experience. Like, not only do they add musical elements and like they tapped into old interviews from NPR, it was much more like, I'm used to listening to podcasts that are conversational and they're like about reality TV and the people are always talking over each other. Like, that's my genre. But Code Switch was like, so it was like storytelling. They were really painting a picture with all the elements. And I agree, like, it was a totally different genre and it was like really well done.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to listen to, and also the content. It was, you know, a historical retelling of the establishment of this country, the beginning of the slave trade, and just everything that has happened throughout American history in the lens of that. And it was a very interesting listen. I would encourage you guys to listen to it. I think one of the most eye-opening but also enjoyable episodes was the episode about American music and how like American music got its sound that separated it from European music or what people had been listening to. And it was that minstrel chorus music. And that was inspired by, but really ripped off from the music of plantation workers. And just, hearing everything through that lens, it just makes you realize. And the episode started off really interesting because it was about a guy. He was cooking in his kitchen. His friend was like, let's listen to Yacht Rock. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's Yacht Rock. Like, I didn't know that was a genre. I guess it's like music that you listen to when you're on a yacht. That's what I assumed it was.
That's what Sutton Strack was trying to tell Kyle at, it's yachtware. Like, that's a genre.
So he was listening to this Yacht Rock, right, exactly, Yacht Rock while he was cooking, and he was realizing like all of these different musical influences that are from Black culture, and it opened up the episode to the like the beginning and the evolution of American music and all of its racist undertones, and it was very, very eye-opening. I if you only listen to one episode, I think that episode was super powerful.
A little footnote about 1619 that I heard back, like in feedback from the audience, was that a lot of people, and there was an article written up about it, that it's actually a little factually incorrect. And when you were telling me about it, you actually said like you felt like they were not 100% like rooted in fact.
So yes, I read the, cause I saw some comments that like, you just need to look into this cause there are some factual inaccuracies. And so I guess there's this conflict in the history community, and a bunch of these historians wrote a letter to the New York Times asking them to correct some of these historical inaccuracies. And the historians who wrote it, they got a few signatures on the letter, and then other historians spoke out and said, I saw the letter, they asked me to sign it, that yes, there are some factual inaccuracies, but I did not sign the letter because it aims to just like kind of delegitimize the 1619 project in general. And even though some of the conclusions that are drawn are not necessarily what those historians would have said or what historians have been saying, I do think that there's value in hearing different perspectives, especially when you're taught American history through the lens of, you know, old white guys the entire time.
Jackie, you said something to me just like in conversation last week that like really struck a chord with me and kind of just like was making me realize so many things. And you were like, and I had the same experience. Like when you're taught American history in high school, like the high school curriculum is like, there was racism, we fixed it, and now it's over. And I think that's why a lot of people have white people have like a hard time understanding these like complex issues, because it's been ingrained in us since we were kids that like this is over.
Yeah, no, the way American history is sometimes taught, especially in like social studies, when I got it, there's not like so much time, but but it's taught like, okay, there was slavery, we abolished it, that left racism in the communities, it took a while, but the civil rights movement abolished the racism and now we are good. And like, right, when that is just given to you as fact, it takes a lot of undoing to realize like, oh no, we're not good.
No, and I think so much, and we're going to talk about this like a little later on, so much of like what the racism in this country is subtle. It's like a microaggression, which I just learned what a microaggression is. And I feel like that's not to blame, but it's like almost a byproduct of being taught for so long that like racism doesn't exist.
Yeah. Or like not to see color. And that's something that comes up in the movie that we watch that I'm looking forward to recapping.
Yeah, I think, and when KJ Apas, well, you know, we'll talk about it when we get to that scene.
Yes. Oh, something else that I wanted to recap. Oh, wait, you can go. Sorry.
Oh, no, I listened to Code Switch and I got a bunch of episode recommendations from the Toasters. Everyone recommended Hood Feminism, which I listened to and I loved. And it's just really makes you think like about how some of these like feminist movements, like the Me Too movement, kind of like misses all the nuances, especially within the Black community. And it's like the Black community is, and women in the Black community, like single mothers, like they are just not equal yet. So it's like, you're forgetting about this entire community of women in this women's movement. And it was just really interesting to like, you would never think of those types of details and nuances like when thinking about certain movements like the Me Too movement. But the woman who came on, she like had coined the term hood feminism. And it was really good. But an episode that someone, not as many people recommended to me, but I highly recommend, was the episode on adoption. And I was just like writing these things down that I couldn't believe. Like they were saying that in certain like adoption agencies, they consider Black children to be like less valuable and they will like decrease the value. And they had like listeners write in, email in, like telling them about their experiences being adopted from like Asia or different countries and like being brought into a white family and how one, they have like no sense of identity because it's like they're like, it was, they had this Southeast Asian guy and he was like, well, no one really thinks I'm Asian, but like I am Asian, but like I'm not. But and like I wasn't, and it was like I wasn't until I turned like 15 that I realized like I wasn't white like my parents. So you just don't think about those types of identity issues within the adoption community. And they just had like all their listeners call in, write in, like leave voicemails, and it was just interesting. Most of the episodes are actually not the hosts. They bring in experts, and they like let the experts, the authors, the people who have been adopted, like do the majority of the talking, which I thought was really like really hits home the message. And I really liked the adoption episode. It just made you think about things like you would never think about if you're not adopted.
Oh, wow. Oh my, I'm going to listen to that next.
It was good.
Okay. Thanks. Also something that I've been watching that I wish I had been watching sooner is I started The Real Housewives of Potomac. Literally.
Told you. Did I tell you?
You told me, you completely told me, and I'm so sorry that I haven't been watching sooner. Scene one, episode one, like I'm just completely and already here for it. Like I love Potomac. We need to move there. I love the women. I'm in the middle of season two now.
Such a good season.
Oh, I feel like that's what I remember you saying. And I'm not going to lie. I did a little bit of research because I saw that Katie wasn't back for season two and I was wondering where she went. And then I saw some of the stuff that I know is going to happen, you know, stuff that you said happens with Michael, but I tried to not read it. So I know that the new season of Potomac is coming back soon, so we will be recapping that on this show. I just absolutely, I love the women. I love so many of them. And I also love that sometimes, maybe it's because it's in, like, I was in season one, but it's like, I love Giselle, But a lot of the times, like, I wasn't necessarily on her side, but, like, I still love her, you know? And, like, even though Karen's not my favorite, sometimes, like, she was right, you know?
No, that's the thing with Karen. I struggle, and me and TPG, like, always go at it because he is a Karen Huger, like, number one fan, like, bought her perfume, like, sprayed me with it. He's her number one fan, and it's, like, she's, like, this grand, like, dom, like, she's in charge of the social scene, but, like, she sometimes says and does things that are just so, like, not right, but he just, like, rides or die for her, but that's how I feel about Giselle.
Yeah, I feel that, and then you told me about Giselle and Jamal, and I'm very excited to get there. Also, season one, they have a lot of conversations about race as it relates to them, as it relates to race in America. And yes, like, we were listening to educational things throughout the weekend. But I think that season one of Real Housewives of Potomac has that conversation in a very entertaining way and a way that's easy to understand. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I look forward to binge watching it throughout the week.
Yeah, it took me, like, whenever there's a new Housewife franchise, like, I'm immediately just, like, not, like, I remember even with Dallas, like, I didn't watch, like, in full. I was just, like, not in the mood. I'm, like, I feel so happy with the Housewives that I do have. But Potomac was this addition that, like, once, TBG really was the one who got me on it. And once I started, it's just so good. And, like, at the reunions, they fucking bring the glamour. Like, they are, like, Beverly Hills level. Like, they all just, like, match outfits. Their glam is so good. Their outfits are so good. Like, they take the job of Housewives very seriously. And I compare it to Dallas, because they started, they have, like, similar amounts of seasons. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it just comes so much easier for the Housewives of Potomac. I feel like they really love the platform that they have, and they want to be role models for, like, you know, smart, powerful Black women. And they take that really seriously. And, like, it just comes naturally for them. And they, like, are so glamorous. And I just think it's such a good show. And I think that it's, like, going to be one of my, it, like, it's delayed because of COVID, I think. A lot of the Housewives franchises are delayed. But I'm so excited for the new season. And I'm also really excited to see if they're filming and if they talk about, like, the current climate in the country.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm excited to catch up to where you are. I remember when it premiered, and I remember the same thing about Dallas, and I dove into Dallas because I was dating Zach, and, like, he was from there, and I felt like it was an easy way to get to know his city. But I actually felt the opposite of you. Not that I was, like, happy with the Housewives that I had. It was like, I'm tired of all the Housewives franchises that I already watch. Like, and so I wasn't trying to watch even more, but I would rather watch Potomac right now than New York.
Definitely. No, it's just so well done, and they don't try too hard. Like, it's, I felt like Dallas, and I just compare it to Dallas because they came out, like, at similar times. Mm-hmm. I just felt like a lot of times in Dallas, like, they just needed the show so badly that they were just, like, forcing so many storylines. Yeah. And I just feel like in Potomac, it's so natural. Like, a lot of the women have, like, really, like, long, deep-rooted friendships, but they're not, like, it just comes naturally for them, which is the best kind of franchise.
Yes, I agree with that. Okay, so anything else you want to recap before we get into everything?
Not recap because I just started it, but I started the Redheads book last night.
Ooh, Maya Angelou, that's our next book for the Redheads. So it's a little confusing, but this week our episode will drop where we recap Codename Helene, which I'm in the middle of, and it's actually very, very good. And then we announced that our book for next month is going to be I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. We're all really excited to read it. It's been recommended by a lot of different people and on a lot of different lists of how it's just a very powerful story about race and America.
And if you are glad you're going to read with us. Yeah, I know. And if you're going to buy it, I read, there's, like, a full list of Black owned bookstores that you can and should support if you can't. I mean, if you're not going to, like, buy it on Kindle. So it's just, like, one extra step in Googling that I think most people might not think about. But if you're going to buy it, feel free to support Black owned bookstores.
Definitely. So yeah, we have a lot
it's very good.
The book.
It's, like, funny, which is not necessarily what I was expecting.
I'm so excited that you're reading it, that you're reading with us, that you're reading, and I'm excited. Maybe we'll have you on the next episode, like, to share some thoughts.
Maybe.
Okay, now is it time?
I think so.
Okay, cool. Without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Cool.
Okay. The first story I actually felt was kind of the perfect story for the tone of today's episode and just sort of getting into now, you know, some, well, all celeb news, some mindless, some not. But John Legend discusses balancing humorous content amidst the ongoing protests. During a panel for Sherman's Showcase, executive producer John Legend said it's important to keep creating joyful content amid the important Black Lives Matter protests happening across the country. Quote, we still have to have our sense of humor, he said from the couch on Saturday when the moderator asked about conflicting feelings when creating silly content right now. Quote, we still think there's a lot in the world to talk about and make fun of, and there's a lot of joy we can share with other people, and I think it's important to continue to share that joy, that laughter with intelligence and with an eye to what's going on in the world, but people still need to laugh and enjoy themselves. He added, I think it's important that we show the fullness of what it is to be Black and human. Through our art, we are able to do that.
I mean, I love this, and I feel like I had this moment on Blackout Tuesday of last week. TikTok was like highlighting Black creators. So my entire For You page was like overwhelmingly Black creators, from both like comedy to beauty to like social justice. And I just have to say, and I said this to you, it was so much better. Like I spent literally so much of Tuesday on TikTok, like listening and just watching all these different types of content, both funny and like not, and serious. And I preferred it so much. And then on Wednesday, I like expected my feed to be like filled again. And it was just back to the normal, like dumb stuff. And I don't know how to get back to Tuesday, because he's right. Like it, so much of like the Black experience is like knowing all about all different facets, and like whether that includes comedy or beauty or like Black owned businesses. I totally agree. It was so much better.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I feel like Instagram has been a very powerful place to share news and information, but there have been some people who are using it also to bring levity to some of what's going on. The first person that comes to mind is Justin Sylvester, because he's just been posting so much informational content. He posted some podcast episodes. He spoke with the sheriff, but he's still just like his funny self and just sharing humor amidst this time. And I think it's important.
Yeah, it's obviously touch and go, like not to make light of what's going 100%. On. But I agree with John Legend. Like there needs to be an element of like levity sometimes.
Yes, I agree with John Legend as well. Okay.
And next. John Legend and Chrissy Teigen, I mean, we didn't do a show last week, but if we did, we would have
touched on it,
that they donated $200,000 to like a bailout fund for peaceful protesters who were taken into custody, which is just fabulous.
Yeah, there are a lot of celebrities who are stepping up, donating large sums, including Kanye West, who launches a college fund for George Floyd's daughter. Kanye West has launched a college fund for the six-year-old daughter of George Floyd, who was killed while in police custody. West set up a 529 college savings fund to cover tuition for Gianna Ford, his rep told CNN on Thursday. The rapper also donated $2 million to the families and legal teams supporting Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor.
Wow, I didn't know that second part.
Yeah.
That's like, I just feel like, obviously, any form of donation is amazing, but to donate to someone's, like, education is just so special, and I feel like Kim and Kanye are both, like, so family-focused, and, like, their kids are their whole lives, and I feel like them donating, of course, to the family and the legal fund, but also to George Floyd's daughter's future is just so special.
So special. And just like looking towards the future. And I think that was very thoughtful and generous of them. Yeah. It's very nice to see celebrities stepping up like that. And also, our next story is a K-pop group, BTS, has donated $1 million to Black Lives Matter. BTS and their management company, Big Hit Entertainment, donated $1 million to Black Lives Matter earlier this week, Variety reported on Saturday. While the K-pop superstars didn't comment on the donation on social media, both Black Lives Matter and Big Hit confirmed the transfer. Black Lives Matter managing director Kaylee Scales told Variety, quote, Black people all over the world are in pain at this moment from the trauma of centuries of oppression. We are moved by the generosity of BTS and allies all over the world who stand in solidarity in the fight for Black lives.
I mean, this is incredible, obviously, because $1 million is so much money, but also, like, they're so influential, like, especially yes. amongst a generation of, like, young people whose minds are, like, you know, they're sponges, you know, they're absorbing. And I feel like, of course, the money says a lot, but I just think, like, the actual, like, the message is so powerful here, given, like, what their audience is, who their audience is, how old their audience is, and, like, how big their audience is.
Yes, they are so influential. They are massive, and I agree that the money is fabulous, great. But also them taking a stance in this way is important and wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's, and it makes it, you know, not just like an American thing, it makes it a global thing because they're a global group.
Yes, and there are global protests, and this is really like a worldwide movement. I'm sure that you saw the tweet that was going around, like, sort of
yes.
saying how there has been protests in 50 states, every state in the country, and making this the biggest civil rights movement in history, which is incredible.
And that's why, like when you said earlier, like watching history, like this is definitely going to be in textbooks, you know?
Yes, definitely. Okay, switching gears a little bit, because Vanderpump Rules stars Stassi Schroeder and Kristen Doty are apologizing to former co-star Faith Stowers. Vanderpump Rules, Stassi Schroeder, and Kristen Doty are breaking their silence to offer apologies to their former co-star, Faith Stowers. On Sunday, they both posted lengthy statements on Instagram to address an incident with Stowers that she spoke about recently during an Instagram live chat with Floribama Shore star Candace Rice. Last
Love
week,
her.
Faith, who appeared on seasons 4 and 6 of the Bravo series, recalled a time when Stassi and Kristen spotted a tabloid article about a Black woman wanted for theft and called the police to pin the crimes on her. Quote from Faith, "There was this article on Daily Mail where there was an African-American lady. It was a weird photo, so she looked very light-skinned and had these different weird tattoos. They showcased her, and I guess this woman was robbing people. And they called the cops and said it was me." Kristen and Stassi. "This is like a true story. I heard this from actually Stassi during an interview." So Stassi had done a podcast interview detailing how Kristen and Stassi called the police because they believed that it was Faith in the images who was robbing people.
I mean, this is terrible. And I just feel like not enough people talk about how, like, where justice for Faith, like, she had honestly the worst experience on that show. And of course, like, you sign up for a reality show, like, you get yourself into, but it's like, she just, like, couldn't catch a break. And they just, everyone was so, like, mean to her for doing something that they've all done, like, slept with each other's boyfriends. Like, she was just held to, like, this different, more impossible standard. And I just feel like she had a terrible negative experience on the show. And I really, like, I feel for her.
Yes, and doing something that they've all done, but also that, like, one of their friends participated in as well. And I feel like Faith was just such a scapegoat for them to not deal with, like, the real problem of the infidelity that occurred. And I do feel like her experience on the show was just truly unfair.
Yeah.
And so Stassi and Kristen had posted that, you know, they're sorry for what they did, that it wasn't like racially motivated, but they see now how what they did was
calling the police.
Right. But they had said that, you know, at the time they were just in defense of their friend and, you know, all of the infidelity that had gone on. But I just feel like you can't be so mad at one of the people involved without being equally mad at the other person. The person Jax. Who owes you something. Right.
Right. The person right. who's your friend.
Right. The person who's in a years. Relationship.
Yeah. No, that's what I meant. Like, I just feel like Faith had, like, no one gave her a chance. And she wasn't even given enough airtime to really, like, say her piece and say her side of things, and everyone just kind of wrote her off from the second she got there. And I understand why she's now speaking out about having a bad experience, and I feel like it really just harkens on, like, the lack of diversity in Vanderpump Rules. Like, it's been so glaringly obvious for so long, especially now. Like, and it's not like they have a small cast. Their cast, there was like 19 people at the reunion.
Yeah.
And not yeah. one Black person.
Yes.
Not one.
Yeah, no, there definitely needs to be more diversity. I I remember when Faith was on season 4, though, she was good friends with Lala, and I think she was dating Lisa's son, Max.
Yes.
And, like,
yes.
The three of them were, like, and James was, like, their fourth friend, and, like, they were kind of a really fun crew, and it would have been nice to expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, season 4 was, like, too early. Like, they were still so focused on the original castmates, but yes, now it's, like, yes. Season 8, the original castmates are, like, so kind of jaded that now they're focusing on, like, this new generation. But this new generation doesn't include any people of color.
Right. So I think that, it's been time for a while for change in Vanderpump Rules and change in just, like, the cast. And I think this just drives home that point.
Yeah, especially last week when the reunion was airing, it was – I had literally forgotten that it was on because there was so much going on in the world. And when I did catch it, it just felt so, like, out of touch.
Yeah. Like, almost outdated when it wasn't filmed that too long ago.
Right. So I think that, you know, I feel really, sad for Faith. I feel like she just had a really negative experience on the show, and certain people, you know, go on reality shows and have bad experiences, but I feel like hers was, like, really bad, you know, because she was never given an opportunity to, like, speak for herself, and there was just really, like, a lot of talking
about her.
Yeah, and she never got to, like, be like, hey, this is my side of the story. So honestly, I'm happy that she's kind of, you know, just going on Instagram and telling her truth.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, fifth and final story, a little good news for the class of 2020, because YouTube Originals did their Dear Class of 2020 All-Star Commencement yesterday. There was performance by Lizzo, Alicia Keys, former President Barack Obama, former First Lady Michelle Obama, Beyonce, BTS, Lady Gaga, Secretary Robert M. Gates, Secretary Condoleezza Rice, Sundar Pichai, and Malala were all there to wish their well wishes. Taylor Swift was there. I know that, well, they're all virtually, remotely, et cetera. Right. Share some advice and music for the graduating class.
Lizzo's performance, did you see it, of her playing the flute to the do 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 do, and they had, like, virtually, they had a virtual orchestra, like, you know, a 20-piece orchestra, like, all at home, and they, like, put all the videos together, and Lizzo, whenever she plays her flute, like, it gives me life. Like, it was just so epic and so iconic.
That's stellar.
It was stellar. Like, it was just so different, you know? Like, some of these, even regular graduations, are just so, like, corny sometimes.
Oh, sometimes.
Every time?
Yeah.
So I feel like this was actually kind of fabulous.
Yeah, very fabulous. I've been reading some of the speeches that some of the stars were sharing. And I actually wanted to pose a question to you. If you could give some advice to the graduating class of 2020, what would your advice be?
That's a good question. Do you have an answer?
I need to think about it for a second, but I feel like my advice is always the same, but maybe it just needs to be tweaked a little bit. But I feel, well, you know, if I'm just, like, talking, like, you know, just to
one-on-one.
Yeah, I'm not like on the YouTube thing where, but if I'm just, like, being real, like, I feel like a lot of people get, like, really sad to graduate high school or college and don't look forward to the change that comes with it. And I just want to say, like, embrace it all. You have so much ahead of you. Get excited about it. Don't worry. And I just think my best life advice is just to be yourself. You know, there's only one you, and everyone looks forward to meeting you.
Oh, that's sweet. I think my advice would be, I feel like when I was in college and in high school, like, if I was going through something or, like, I had a pit, like, it felt like the end of the world, and now it's, like, so irrelevant. So I would, like, try and encourage young people to, like, have perspective, you know, and just, if you're going through something, like, it's gonna end, you know, like, it does. Yeah. Everything gets better. Everything works out. Like, don't let whatever it is that you're going through, like, define you.
Yeah. And you know what also is, it, like, advice that sometimes people give to me, that it always, like, just eases my burden a little bit, when people are like, just go easy on yourself. Like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, give yourself a break. Like, you're fabulous. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah. I would also give advice, like, don't worry about having a million friends. Like, just have a few good friends.
Yeah, don't worry about staying in touch with everyone.
It's unrealistic.
Yeah, it's unrealistic. You're going to be really busy. And so you just find your people.
Also, if I would give some advice, it's all coming to me now. I would just say, like, always be grateful that you don't have to do homework anymore. Like, for me, graduating was this huge burden. Like, I'm sorry, no, college was this huge burden. Like, I was just never really good at school, like tests, reading. Like, I just wasn't that type of student. And for me, like, graduation was this huge release, like knowing I'm never going to have to do homework again, or like do it, write an essay or submit an assignment. And like, lean into that, because there's a lot of, you know, trials and tribulations that come with being an adult in the real world, like paying bills. Like, there's a lot of realness, and that sucks, but just always keep in mind, at least you're not doing homework.
Yeah. And you know what? You will continue to have dreams that you're doing homework or that you haven't done yet.
Yes.
And those are kind of annoying, but at least like you get to wake up and go on with your fabulous life. And I think my also
have
my
those
advice,
dreams like once a month.
I know. My advice would also be, the world is your oyster. Like, take on, this is your time, you know? This is your time. Do your thing.
And then I would also thing. I would also quote one of those classroom bulletin boards. What's right isn't always popular, and what's popular isn't always right.
This is the one that stuck with me. Never stop asking why.
Ooh, very powerful. Mm-hmm. Those classroom like quotes
deeply
are actually
profound.
Like, deeply profound. And I don't think like our young minds were able to process, but I think like looking at a sign every day that said what's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular, like really struck a chord with me.
Yeah. No. And I think like on even just a very surface level, never stop asking why. Like for me, that just meant like, if something's not making sense to me, like in the class, like why, how, you know? Yeah. And now obviously like later in life, like it means so much more, but I think just on a technical level back in the day, super helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad that you agree. Okay, so those are the Fast Five stories. And now we're going to recap the Toast movie of the week, which was The Hate U Give.
Before we do that, is it okay if I just like quickly grab the floor really quick?
Oh, of course, please.
Today's episode is brought to you by Fiverr. If you're a business owner, chances are you're reevaluating the way you do business. Establishing your online presence is no longer optional. It's necessary. Pivoting quickly is hard enough, but finding the people to make it happen can feel like a full-time job. Fiverr's freelancing platform helps you find the right talent to build your online presence. Finding the right freelancer can be frustrating and time-consuming, not to mention expensive. There are so many factors, like how much will it cost, how can you be sure that they'll deliver. So Fiverr lets you hire freelancers with proven track records and clear pricing, so you're never in the dark. Whether it's building your first website or designing social graphics to celebrate years of business, Fiverr connects you with the talent you need to keep moving forward. Evolve, adapt, and grow your business with Fiverr. They offer meaningful resources to help SMBs transition into the new normal. They connect businesses with freelancers, offering hundreds of digital services like graphic design, copywriting, web programming, film editing, voiceover, music, and more. They have quality talent that you can count on. Their sellers have worked with influential brands like Google, Netflix, MIT, and PayPal. And you could review their seller ratings, buyer feedback, and more to select the right freelancer based on your budget. Find your talent today at Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, so it's two R's, fiverr.com, and you can receive 10% off your first order with using code TOAST. All the digital services you need are in one place. That's Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R.com, code TOAST. Again, that's fiverr.com, code TOAST. Thank you, Fiverr. On to our Toast movie of the day, which was The Hate U Give, starring Amandla Stenberg, who is Queen Rue from Hunger Games.
Yes. And also a very star-studded cast in general.
Oh my God, yes. Like I knew nothing about the movie from plot to cast, which is my favorite way to watch a movie. Like, it's so rare that I haven't seen a commercial or like read something on Instagram. Like, it was just, I had no idea what the movie was about and or who was in it. And I was just like so like living every time someone turned around. I'm like, Regina Hall, Issa Rae, Common, Sabrina Carpenter, it's KJ Apa. Like, it was just so like, ooh.
Yes, I agree. I didn't know what it was about, but it was so good. It was so powerful. It was so poignant for this week in American culture. And I hope that you guys watched along with us, because it really just, it just drove home every single point. But I also there were so many powerful conversations or things that were said. Obviously, something that really stuck out to me was the Thug Life acronym, like the hate you give little infants fucks everybody. And I just kept thinking about it. Like, I kept thinking about it as I fell asleep last night. Like, it's so fucking true. Like, what you put out there comes back. And like, when you put out hate, it comes back.
And to be honest, like, I felt really dumb because I wasn't really understanding the whole the hate you give thing, little infants, until the, spoiler alert, ending scene when her little brother picks up the gun. And like, then it all just kind of like clicked for me.
Yeah, but you see how it's Thug Life?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
For me, there were two really powerful moments. I thought the opening scene was incredibly powerful, especially given what's going on and how it, like, you know, a lot of white people might not realize, like, this is a conversation that Black parents have with their children almost all the time, to be aware. And like, you know, I for us, like, we're taught, like, you know, be respectful, but it's never like it's going to be a threat to your life. And the fact that like, that's a common part of growing up Black is just so crazy. And I thought they did an amazing job of what I imagine those conversations are like. Like, they're very serious and kids might not understand at the time, but the second they get pulled over, it's like ingrained in them. And I just thought it was like a really powerful scene and a really powerful way to open up the movie. And again, I didn't know what it was about, but I was kind of understanding what it might be about based on that opening scene.
Yes, definitely.
And another really powerful thing was when Issa Rae comes to the funeral and she quotes, I'm sorry, I don't know who said it, but it's like, there's no such thing as an unarmed Black man when, like, when someone sees Blackness as a weapon.
Yes.
That was just like everything.
Yeah. No, that definitely sticks with you. I felt like the scene when Star is talking to her uncle, who's a police officer, Common.
Yes.
And she's at his house, like, talking about going before the grand jury. And they kind of get into the conversation of what would have happened if, you know, it was a white man in a suit in a Mercedes driving the car, and how a police officer's reaction might have been different. I think really just, I like how the movie did a good job of, you know, there's, Common is a good police officer. There are good cops, you know, it's like, but there is a systematic racism inherent in the police force that needs to be excavated.
I agree. I thought that scene was incredible. I thought there was just so many moments where they, like, obviously the movie had a message, but they kind of emulated in different relationships, like the relationship with Common or the relationship with Sabrina Carpenter. They emulated different conversations that happened around the issue of police brutality, like All Lives Matter, or, you know, or with like Black police officers. I just thought it did such a good job of driving home a message while also acknowledging other types of conversations that are had around this issue. Especially the Sabrina Carpenter, which is like something as a teenager, like a privileged white teenager, I definitely related to, like, not being able to see out of your own privilege when you're in high school, being like, oh, it's sad for the police officer's family. You know, like, I thought it was very, very well done.
Yeah. And then also what I thought was well done is the conversation that she has with her boyfriend, KJ Apa. And he was like, I don't see color. And she was like, if you don't see my Blackness, you don't see me.
You don't see me. Yes. And I feel like that's something that, at least for me, like, I've always been like, I don't see color, but now it's like, you should.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I thought that they did all of this in both subtle and very explanatory ways. And I just thought it was an amazingly well done movie that talks about a lot of difficult conversations, but does a very good job at it.
Yeah. One last thing that I wanted to say was, hold on, it was just on the tip of my tongue. Oh, fuck. It was,
is it Theo plopping into the sack behind you?
No. It was, just give me 1 second. Like, okay. I need to say it. It's just, oh, when you were talking about like subtle things, I thought it was really like powerful how they didn't mention it, but at the end of the movie, when she's like finally feeling more comfortable with like the two parts of her life, she starts to wear her hair naturally.
Yes.
And I just thought that was like a little detail that was very moving.
Yes. I completely agree.
It was I thought, like, it was a great selection.
It was so great. It was a great selection. I'm so glad it was our first movie. I'm so glad that we watched it. I'm so glad we watched it this week.
It came out in 2018. I feel like it literally could have come out tomorrow.
I completely agree. Yeah. Crazy. I've also heard that the book, it's based on a book. I've heard that the book is incredible. And so I might read that in a little bit.
Yeah. It's like sad that it's so pertinent when it was made 2 years ago, like nothing has changed.
Yeah.
But a powerful message nonetheless.
Yeah. And a powerful force for change.
Yeah. So our movie for next week, would you like to tell the class?
Yes. Our movie for next week is Hidden Figures, which is one of my favorite movies. It's so important. It has such a great message. It's a true story. It's an incredible story. Claudia hasn't seen it. I'm so excited for her to watch it. And I'm so excited for me to watch it again.
I like missed the boat when everyone was watching it, like during Oscar season. And then I didn't want to be like the last one. So I just never watched it.
Yeah. That does always happen. Like it's either Oscar season or
bust.
Or bust. But it's Oscar season here.
So we are going to recap it on Friday. So we have a few days to watch it. I like need to watch stuff the day before because I have such a bad memory. Like,
of course.
I wanted to watch The Hate U Give last week, but I didn't watch it until last night because I wanted to remember it.
Yes, me too. But then it's also like I was watching it last night and I had wished I watched it days before because it just gave me a bunch of different perspectives. But ultimately, I'm glad that I watched it. And yes, it didn't need to be top of mind for the show.
So that was a great selection. Thank you to everyone who recommended it. Also, we didn't get, because we didn't do a show last week, we didn't get an opportunity to highlight Black-owned businesses, which is what we're going to start doing every Friday. So we'll do it this Friday. But if you didn't catch our Instagram, we highlighted a fabulous company called Rebecca Allen. They are a shoe company. And the whole concept of the shoe is Five Shades of Nude, which Jackie and I were talking about. And it like didn't even occur to me like how powerful that message is until you explained it to me. Because you just assume nude. Like we were having this conversation about how we totally didn't even realize like the deep-rooted racism in the word nude.
In the term nude, because like nude is like considered
skin color.
A color, like a pigment, but there are so many different shades of nude.
So why is nude like in the crayon box? Like why is it this?
Yes.
So I just, and then we started having another conversation about Band-Aids.
Yes, you were telling me.
It's the same thing, how it's like Band-Aids are meant to be like skin tone, even though like they don't necessarily match my skin tone. Like it blends
it's like
in
flesh
sort of.
Yeah, flesh color.
But it's like, where are the brown and black Band-Aids?
Right.
They're supposed to blend.
Yeah.
It's just been eye-opening, little things like that. So it was Rebecca Allen. I ordered my shoes on Thursday. By the way, they came on Saturday. Like, it was crazy shipping, and they're so elegant. I got the flats.
The flats are like so elegant and fabulous.
Yeah, so we didn't get to do it on the show, but if you want to shop, support Black-owned businesses, it's called Rebecca Allen New York. They're available online, and you could shop their Instagram too, which is fabulous. And then we will. And if also if you have any recommendations for Black-owned businesses that you feel passionate about, or you are a Black business owner, reach out, let us know, because we're always looking for places to shop.
Yes, we definitely are.
Is that it?
I think that is all that she wrote today.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys so much. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we will see you tomorrow morning.
Bye. Bye, Theo.